Well, good morning, and we're excited to have you here. We are finishing up a theme called the Church Advantage, talking about how the church is advantage for God, church advantage for us, the church is advantage for everyone around us, for our community. And we're finishing up that theme with a series called W6, and it is W6 because we're kind of around tax time. And we're talking about wisdom. We're talking about six W's of wisdom in the book of Proverbs, a book of wisdom in the Bible. And that is a huge advantage for us because we have the book of Proverbs. We have God's wisdom handed to us. And so that's how that fits into our theme this year. So we've talked about wisdom. We've talked about work, wealth, words. Today we're talking about women. And next week we're not talking about the wicked. Next week, we're going to take a pause because we have Jay Henry coming in here to be with us and share with us. He's with Mid-India Christian Mission, and it is a real honor to have him. So we will have him here for both services. He will be doing a combined Sunday school in the middle of the two services to share a little more about the mission and what's going on there. And then he will be sharing with these guys at the Pursuit that evening. So that's all happening next Sunday. And then we'll be back to finish up our W6 series and talk about the wicked and the righteous on Palm Sunday. So it's hard to imagine it's here that quick. So today we're talking about women. And there's going to be a variety of different subjects under the whole umbrella of women. So guys, don't check out. There'll be some things here you'll want to hear. And there'll be some things here that you'll need to hear. And you really need to hear both of those. So starting off just out of the gate, very, very general, very ecumenical, very, you know, universal is mothers. We can talk about women and we can talk about mothers because we all have a mother. And so on that topic of mothers, the book of Proverbs gives us some wisdom. And it says in verse 22, the second half in chapter 23, it says, "Do not despise your mother when she is old." You know, let's take the positive slant on that. The opposite of despising is to appreciate. So let's write this down. Show your aged mother appreciation. I think we all know that that's wisdom. We all know that that's a wise thing to do, that that's a good thing to do, that we should do it. But some of us might need a little push to do it. And so this morning, from God's word, I want to encourage you and I want to task you with a challenge today. If your mother is still here on earth, call her today. Don't wait till tomorrow, you might forget. Call her today and just tell her how much you appreciate her. Tell her how much you thank her. You know, thank her for the wisdom that she's given you. Thank her for the things that she did, how she raised you, what she gave you, what she gave to you to be able to have success in your life. Because I know it gets tough. You move away. I am miles and miles and miles away from my parents, and I don't call them. I don't talk to them as often as I should. And it's easy. You get so consumed with your life. You're doing your stuff. You've got your kids. And, you know, if you're a grandparent, then you've got your kids and you've got their kids' kids. And if your parents are still alive and they are a great-grandparent, I would imagine that would be even tougher to call them every once in a while. So call your mother today. Be inspired by God's word. Call her and show her. Tell her that you appreciate her. Down a little further in chapter 23, there's a passage that talks about both parents, fathers and mothers. But since we're in the subject of mothers, we're going to kind of include that in. And that is to live a life that makes your mother proud of your choices. That passage talks about making your father and mother proud. But think about that. I mean, years ago, you had the little bracelets, the What Would Jesus Do bracelets, and it kind of became a fad. It became kind of overused and cliche. But if you go back to the root of that, it really was a great idea to think everything you do, what would Jesus do in this situation? You know, and another one, a close second, what would make my mother proud would be another good question to ask yourself. And if you think about it, you think, you know what, my mom would not be proud to hear that I did this or to hear that I said this, then you probably shouldn't do it or you probably shouldn't say it. So make your mom proud. Live a life that makes your mother proud of your choices. So the next section is about what Aretha Franklin sung about in 1967 and how I remember how to spell this word. So we're going to write this down. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Respect. You know, we've all heard that respect is earned. You can gain respect, you can lose respect. Proverbs 11 shares about how women can gain and lose respect. Proverbs 11:16 says a kind-hearted woman gains what? Respect. You guys can read that. It's scripture. It's okay. You're not going to get shot. Kind-hearted woman gains respect. So go and write that down. Women gain respect by being kind-hearted. You know, by nature, women are nurturers. Women are caring. They're compassionate. You're kind-hearted. Too much in our world, we've got so much gender crossing over, and don't be embarrassed of your gender. Celebrate your gender. I think it's awful funny that the feminist movement is not feminist. It's masculine. It's women trying to be masculine. If the feminist movement were a feminist movement, that'd be great. You'd be celebrating your feminism, your kind-heartedness, your nurturing. You know, take that and run with it. The Bible says that's how you gain respect as a woman, by being kind-hearted. Be nurturing. Be gentle. A little bit later in Proverbs 11, and I'm going to have to be very careful sharing this verse. In verse 22, it says, like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. That's pretty offensive right there. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is what a beautiful woman is when she doesn't show discretion. That's offensive to us, but that would be even more offensive to a Jewish reader because pigs were considered unclean. You couldn't eat them. You couldn't enjoy pigs. They didn't enjoy ham. They didn't enjoy bacon. Let's have a moment of silence. They didn't enjoy pulled pork sandwiches, pork tenderloins, pork chops, barbecued ribs, pickled pig's feet, pig's ears, none of that. They didn't enjoy any of that because the pig was useless to them because it was unclean. And so this picture is, why would you adorn, why would you put an ornament on something that's useless, something that's unclean? And the proverb writer applies this to women who show no discretion. They're beautiful, so what? If they show no discretion, their beauty's wasted. It's like adorning a pig. It's like putting jewelry on a pig. So women lose respect by lacking discretion. Go on and write that down. Women lose respect by lacking discretion. And so ladies, I throw that out to you this morning. The choice is yours. To be kind-hearted or to be a nose ring for a pig. So that's the wisdom in chapter 11 on the subject of respect. Now to narrow the scope a little from women in general into wives. Now Proverbs says a lot about wives, and it would have been easy for this W to be wives only. I wanted to make sure it was broad enough where we could capture everyone and speak to everyone, or at least all the women. And we will be speaking to men also. But there's a lot of wisdom in Proverbs about wives. Many who are not wives can still use the principles from this wisdom. So don't shut off if you're not a wife yet, or if you're not a wife right now. Many of us have heard the expression, behind every great man is a great woman. There's a lot of truth to that. There's a lot of truth to that. Let's go on and write this down. As a wife, actually, I don't know if this has any blanks in it or not. As a wife, you can strengthen or weaken your husband. Women, as wives, they have the power to give strength to their husbands. And where you have the potential for great good, you also have the potential for great bad. Wives also have the power to cause misery to their husbands. So let's look at both sides of this. And both of these, this whole next section here is outlined, is packaged by this one verse. And it's in chapter 12, verse 4. And it actually starts with the positive, but I want to cover the negative first. So I want to reverse the verse when we kind of cover it, because I like to end on the good. It's always a good place to be. So Proverbs 12:4 says, a wife of noble character is her husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones. Ew. Decay in his bones. Ways that you can weaken your husband. The way a wife can weaken her husband. decay in his bones. If you think about our bones, you know what our bones do. They hold us up. They hold us together. They give us structure. And if you think about decay in the bone, that happens in the inside of the bone. And the bone just kind of rots away from the inside. And you lose the ability to have structure. And whether or not, even if you're so muscle bound and you've got great skin, if you don't have any bones, you're just going to be a pile of skin and muscle. We need our bones. So let's look at this verse and let's think of a way of understanding this verse. Let's write this down. Women are osteoporosis to their husband if they are disgraceful. No one wants to be osteoporosis. Osteoporosis is a disease that causes the bones to not regenerate the way they should. So the bones become brittle and they fracture easily. And this is what Solomon is telling wives that they are to their husbands when they are disgraceful. They weaken their husband at a structural level. Someone with osteoporosis can fracture a bone by simply sneezing. Healthy bones can handle a sneeze. The same way, the husband of a disgraceful wife will have a more difficult time handling pressures that would normally be easy to handle. They'll crack, they'll crumble, they're more brittle when their wife is disgraceful. So what are some disgraceful actions? Well, there are some outside the home. Not using discretion in your personal relationships and how you treat other people, how you speak to other people. Maybe even the clothes you wear. Maybe making choices that make you look like a pig with a gold ring in its snout. That reflects on your marriage. That reflects on your husband. And this can weaken your husband. Osteoporosis. These disgraceful actions can happen internally also inside a marriage. Through dishonoring or disrespecting your husband. Some women will use tactics of guilt and shame to try and get their way with their husband. Osteoporosis. Some women will constantly use words that are discouraging and putting their husband down, even name calling. Osteoporosis. There's a couple in college that Jess and I were close to. And man, they really fit well together. You know, you see couples and you're like, man, these two, they belong together. They laughed together. They enjoyed each other. We enjoyed being around them. They were just fun. And we didn't see at first what was happening behind closed doors and how that was eating away at their marriage. As we got closer to them and as we started seeing a little more of their marriage, she was a name caller behind closed doors. She was a nagger. She would give a to-do list that was impossible to do and then nag about the things that didn't get done and complain about the things that did get done, that they weren't done right. And what she didn't realize was that she was mimicking her mother's relationship with her father, which she was disgusted by. She did not want to mimic that, but she ended up doing it without even knowing it. She didn't want to be a nag. She started going to counseling and started realizing and started hearing the things that she was saying. She got a chance to kind of step outside and be objective. And when she started hearing the words that she was using, the tone she was using, and how this was degrading to her husband, how it was osteoporosis, she started to make some changes. And she really started becoming an amazing wife, but it was too little, too late. And the marriage was done. And it took years, many years for him to recover. Both are remarried now and both have great marriages from the best of my knowledge. But they didn't have to go through that. And your marriage doesn't have to go through that either. Nagging. It's a bunch of verses. I'm just going to like little semi-automatic proverbs here. And then we're going to kind of put all these together about nagging. Proverbs 21:9 says, "Better to live on a corner of the roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife." Kind of expected some amens, but you guys are playing it safe. I understand. Proverbs 21:19, "Better to live in a desert than with a quarrelsome and ill-tempered wife." Proverbs 27:15, "A quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping on a rainy day. That is so depressing sounding. It's Chinese water torture to live with a woman like that. So let's put all of these together because I want us to be able to kind of feel the weight of these verses. So let's put all these together. It's going to take up our whole screen. It's better to live on the corner of the roof or in the desert than in a house with a quarrelsome and ill-tempered wife because she is like a constant dripping on a rainy day. How many women want to be like that? No one does. But as I've seen of many negative behaviors that happen, many negative behavior patterns that people get into, they end up in a place where they never planned on being, where they never wanted to be, because they didn't plan on not being there. Are you following me? You can become that person. You can become a nagging wife. You can do so without even realizing that you've gotten there. But you can prevent that, and how you prevent that is to not be that wife. And I know that sounds overly simple, but that's really the simplicity of it all, is be aware of what you say. Be aware of how you say it. Think of the tone you're using. Is this building up or is this degrading? Is this supporting your husband? Is it tearing him down? Are you being quarrelsome? Are you being ill-tempered? What is that doing to him? Osteoporosis makes him want to live on the corner of a roof or in a desert rather than in a house with you. It's like a constant dripping on a rainy day. I know you don't want to be that person. So make the choice today to not be. So that's the negative side of chapter 12, verse 4. Let's go back to chapter 12, verse 4 and revisit that for the positive flip side of that. A wife of noble character is her husband's what? Crown. That's a powerful word to use there. It's just as powerful as osteoporosis is in the second half of that verse. A wife of noble character is her husband's crown. Let's write that down. Women are a crown to their husband if they are of noble character. They are a crown to their husband. Think about what a crown does to a man. And if a man walks in the room with a crown on his head, everyone's going to look at him and think, man, he's someone special. He's important. He's valuable. He must have it all together because he's wearing a crown. Immediately, there's eyes going to him and thinking, that guy, he knows what he's going to be talking about. I need to listen to him. Women, you have the power to be a crown for your husband. You have the opportunity to do that. What does a wife of noble character look like? Because that's what it says. The wife of noble character is her husband's crown. So, and I'm going to go here. And some of you, when you first saw this series, you thought, I hope he doesn't go to Proverbs 31. But I have to go to Proverbs 31 because it talks about the wife of noble character. And we need to get a picture of this. If you're not familiar with Proverbs 31, Proverbs 31 paints the picture of this amazingly perfect wife that seems so far out of reach that you can't even imagine being this woman. And you know, a lot of women, they're like, please just don't teach a lesson on Proverbs 31. It makes all of us look bad. Today, my goal in this section, this little section here, is to make that obtainable for you. Sometimes goals can seem so big that they are out of reach. And when I started Taekwondo, I had no desire to become a black belt. I wanted to get into Taekwondo to rehabilitate so I can get back into playing soccer. I had no desire in making those steps. But as I started gaining colors and walking through the belts and through the ranks, and then, you know, I'm up into the red and then brown, and I start losing my color, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I'm really close here. Then making it to the black belt. That wasn't something that I ever would have dreamed of. But what it took was it took steps. And as I look at my belts and see them displayed, it reminds me, any big, huge goal that seems unattainable, all you have to do is break it down into steps. All you have to do is simplify it. Give yourself some mile markers to follow and just stay on track and just follow it. So ladies, I hope that I can do that for you this morning in Proverbs 31. Let's take a look at this and let's just break it down to just simplest form. Verse 10, it says, a wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. And then he goes on to describe what this wife of noble character looks like. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. So her husband has full confidence, that's trust. So you can write that down. Ladies, you can do that. You can be trustworthy. She is trustworthy. Right, ladies? You can do that. Yes? Okay. I want this obtainable. I want it reachable. You can be a Proverbs 31 woman. In fact, I think a lot of you are. You don't realize it, and we're going to get to that when I hammer husbands in a few minutes. Be trustworthy. Proverbs 31:12 says, she brings him good, not harm. I love how he has to, like, define good. You know, whatever definition of good you were thinking, this is the kind of good that doesn't harm. Just to make sure you understand, it's good, not good, weird good, not good. It's good that doesn't do harm. I love that. So she brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. So she brings good. Let's go and write that down, and you need to fix a word here. She brings good to her husband her whole life. I had his whole life, but, you know, if she goes before he does, then it can't be his whole life. So she can only commit to her whole life. Then in the next 10 verses, this passage in 31 goes on and on and on. I think this is the more intimidating part of Proverbs 31, are these next 10 verses where it talks about all that she does for her family. I mean, she gets the food. She prepares the food. She's up before everyone else in the house. And then she's hard at work by the light of lamp into the night. She handles the personal business deals of her family. She plants a vineyard, for heaven's sake. She sows. She works vigorously. I don't know what this husband was doing. No, he's running a country. That's what he was doing. You know, many women read this, and this is a passage where they just hang it up and they say, there's no way I can measure up. There's no way I can do what this woman did. No woman can. This is impossible. But let's step back for a moment and just really simplify these verses. Really, all of these verses say, they say that she does all she can to support her family. Those were her abilities. She could plant a vineyard. She could sow clothes. She could prepare the food. She could handle business deals. She did all that she could to support her family. Most wives do that. From my experience, from looking around, at least their effort is there. And it's that nurturing, that kind-hearted nature that's in there that you can't fight it no matter how much you want to fight it. That's inside you. Let it glow. Let it show. Let that be you. And when you're reading this Proverbs 31, just take that and understand she did everything she could for her family. What are all the things I can do for my family? Am I doing them? If you are, be proud of that. And think, you know what? I am a Proverbs 31 woman. I am doing all I can for my family. In the midst of that long section there, those 10 verses, in verse 20, it talks about her being generous. So let's write that down. She is generous. The act of generosity reveals this kind, caring heart that we've talked about that gains respect. The act of generosity is an external exhibition of this internal quality. She just doesn't have a kind heart, which is often looked at as being soft and delicate. She's also strong and dignified. So go on and, actually, I don't think there's any writing that down. We'll get the note up there, and then let's go to the scripture, because the scripture has that point and the next point coming from it. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. Why would she laugh at the days to come? What? She's ready. She's prepared. So let's go and write that down. She is prepared for the future. That's why she can laugh at the days to come. I'm all right. I'm prepared. I'm ready for it. So ladies, you can follow along. You can do this. You can be generous. You can be strong, dignified. You can prepare for the future. Verse 26, she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She speaks wisdom and instruction. I want to write that down. She speaks wisdom and instruction. Ladies, you have wisdom. Don't just keep it to yourself. Speak it. Speak wisdom. Instruction is on her tongue. And finally, in verse 30, the capstone of this list, the punctuation to this sentence. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be what? Praised. We're going to come back to that word here in a minute, but let's focus on the first word there that we're going to have in this next note, and that is that she fears the Lord. She fears the Lord. It just takes all of this down to just a central point of this is the basis, this is the foundation, this is where she comes from. You want to be a Proverbs 31 woman? That's where it starts. Fear the Lord, to stand in awe of Him. So we talked about mothers. You guys need to call your moms today. We talked about how women can gain respect or how you can lose respect. We talked specifically to wives, and it just doesn't make sense to talk about wives or to venture into Proverbs 31 without getting the section in Proverbs 31 that talks to husbands. So we're going to get there, but before we do, there are a couple of words of wisdom in Proverbs for husbands. So let's talk about husbands. So this is two husbands. So I'm going to write that down, two husbands. The first one, and I really shouldn't have to say this, but sometimes a reminder needs to take place. Stay faithful to your wife. Stay faithful to your wife. Let's see here, this might be PG-13. So if you're 13 or below, you might want to cover your face and your ears. It's Bible though, it's scripture. Verse 18 of chapter 5 says, "May your fountain be blessed." I'm not going to go there. "And may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. A loving doe, a graceful deer, may her breast satisfy you always." Whoa, okay. "May you ever be captivated by her love." Why be captivated, my son, by an adulteress? Why embrace the bosom of another man's wife? For a man's ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all his paths. Men, stay faithful to your wife. Enjoy the wife of your youth, no matter how old you may be now. Enjoy your wife. The grass is not greener on the other side. The grass is greener where you water it. Enjoy her. Stay faithful. Proverbs 19:14 says, "Houses and wealth are inherited from parents, but a prudent wife is from the Lord." Prudent. Prudent means wise. It means practical. It means sensible. I like that one. I like that synonym. Let's go and write that down. Let's take that note. If your wife is sensible, consider her a gift from God. If she's not, I'm not going there. If she's sensible. And really, I mean, yeah, you could use any of those words there. If she's sensible, if she's prudent, but we're not, you know, prudent's not really a popular word nowadays, so we need some help understanding that. If she's wise, if she's practical, consider her a gift from God. Guys, there's some humor in writing that down as is, but let's think about that. We should thank God for our wives, men. We should thank God for our wives. If you've got a good wife, she is a gift to you from God, and you should be thanking Him for her. It's so easy to take a good wife for granted. You know, if we're thanking God on a regular basis in our prayers for our wives, then we'll be more prone to realize how blessed we are to have the wife that we have. So guys, I'm going to issue you a challenge. You're going to have a couple challenges in this sermon about women. The men are getting a lot of the challenges. The first challenge I want to issue to you guys, husbands, is to pray twice a day. Find something that can be a pattern for you, either when you wake up and when you go to bed at night, when you're driving to work, when you're driving home. Find two times a day. And it doesn't, I mean, you know, guys don't have a lot of words to use. You know, we have a smaller amount of words that we use in a day than women. So I'm not asking for a 30-minute prayer or to pray all the way to your work. Just a few sentences. And I want it to be specifically about your wife. And I want you to find something specific about her to thank God for. Something she said to you. Something she's done for you. Some quality or characteristics she has that you're thankful for. And don't repeat. Don't repeat them. Find a new one. First week might not be so difficult. After you get past the first week, you're going to start having to think deeply. What else? Oh, no, I've already thanked God for that quality. Oh, no, I've already thanked God for that. Oh. And what this is going to do is it's going to help you, one, to better notice and realize what you have at home. Two, it's going to help you to be more perceptive, more observant, because as you're starting to look for these things, you're going to look for new things to thank God for, and that's going to cause you to look at your wife with a new set of eyes and really look at what she does and what she says and who she is and be thankful to God for her for all these specific reasons. Because it's so easy to overlook those qualities, those things, the things she says, the things she does, because women are very subtle in the way they do things. And so if you start this, you start this pattern of thanking God for these specific things, then we're going to be less likely to overlook them and more likely not only to thank God, but also to thank her. And that brings us to our last note of the day, and that is what comes from Proverbs 31. And guys, I'm going to give you a gem this morning from Scripture. Proverbs 31:28 starts by saying, her children arise. And this is talking about the Proverbs 31 woman, this perfect woman that women are so intimidated by. Her children rise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Notice that word. He praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. That's what he says to her. I need you guys to practice this with me. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Let's do that again. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. One more time, because you need this. You need this. I'm going to show you how to use this in your life, and it's going to turn some things around, or it's going to turn some things up that are already good. One more time. Many women do. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be. Give her the reward she has earned and let her works bring her. Three times in this passage, the Bible says, praise your wife. I think we should take note of that, husbands. Give her praise at the city gate. That's not just praise at home. That's not just praise in the bedroom. That's praise publicly in front of everyone. Here's the wife I have, and here's how great she is, and here's why. Praise her. Husbands, praise your wife of noble character and inspire your children to do so also. So thank God for your wife and then publicly praise her. And then watch what happens. Watch what happens when you follow this challenge. Watch what happens when you positively reinforce this Proverbs 31 wife that you have living with you, that she doesn't realize she's a Proverbs 31 wife. You don't realize she is. But when you start to use this verse, verse 29 of chapter 31, you're going to start bringing the Proverbs 31 woman out. When she's good to you, praise her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all, and you watch how good the next thing she does is going to be. When she shows you how much you can trust her, you praise her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. See how trustworthy she is the next day. When she works hard to support your family, praise her. When she cooks a meal for you, praise her in front of your children. Many women, say it with me, do noble things, but you surpass them all. And you just watch what the next meal tastes like. the quality of what the next meal is going to be. Praise her for being a great mom. Many women, say it, do noble things, but you surpass them all. And see what kind of mother she is the next day, and the day after, and weeks later, and months later, if you keep saying this. When she plants a vineyard. Okay, that's in Proverbs 31. Maybe your wife is not going to plant a vineyard, but you see where I'm going with this. Use that. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. You know, years ago, I heard a message on this, and I started that with Jesse. Actually, I heard the message before we even met. And so I started using it earlier in our marriage, and I'd little things, and I'd encourage her, and then somewhere along the way, I started drifting off of that. It just kind of didn't happen as often. And I remember a very heart-to-heart, you know, and I'm very transparent with you guys, you know, and many of us have these heart-to-hearts, you know, when you're both there and there's tears and there's hurt, and we were having one of those kind of conversations. You know, okay, don't leave me alone. You guys know where I'm at, right? Have we all had those? No? Okay, thanks. You know, sir, I want to warn you. Lying in church. Shame, shame, shame. And she told me, she said, you don't say this to me anymore. You used to say it all the time. Am I not this wife anymore? Am I not these things to you anymore? I said, no, you are. I didn't realize I hadn't been saying it. And it was that moment that I realized how powerful that was to her ears, to her heart, to her womanness. Just to say those words and for her to hear that from her husband. Husbands, know the power. Use the power of the phrase. When she's generous and you catch her doing something great for someone else, praise her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. And see how generous she is the next time. When she saves your house from disaster because she has planned ahead, praise her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. And see how far into the future she plans next time. When she speaks wisdom and instruction, praise her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. And you see what wisdom comes out of her mouth the next time when she feels more confident about the wisdom she has. When she fears the Lord. When you catch her reading her Bible. When you catch her quoting scripture to your children. When you catch her singing praise or praying, praise her for that. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. And you see what that does for her relationship with God and how it deepens it and how it encourages her. Praise her. It's biblical. Women, wisdom. How to treat your mom. Call her today. Show her some appreciation. Women, how do you gain respect? How do you lose respect? It's your choice. Are you going to be kind-hearted? Or are you going to be like a pig with a nose ring? Wisdom for wives. You can be the Proverbs 31 woman. So shoot for it. Go for it. Simplify it and take steps towards it. Make a choice today to be your husband's crown or your husband's osteoporosis. It's your choice. And husbands, praise your wives. You stay faithful to them. You thank God for them. And you praise them. You tell them, many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Women, wisdom.